Hey there, and welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast, the show designed to teach you how to sell, how to build systems, create strategy, and of course, how to become a marketing genius. Hey guys, I caught up with Michael Lafito, luxury listing expert, and he drops some amazing value around how to go out and get luxury listings. If you've been wanting to tap into that market, you are not going to want to miss this podcast interview. Make sure you are ready to take notes. Let's dive in. Mike, man, thank you. Or Mike Cole, sorry. Thank you so much for jumping on and adding some value with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Pleasure. Thanks, Grant.
Nice. So you were just out at Inman Connect, is that right, in San Francisco? How was that?
Yeah, I was out in Inman in San Francisco, and it was great. You know, a lot of CEOs and top rock star agents and influencers in the industry, all price points, not just luxury. And so if you get a chance, go to an Inman conference. So San Francisco next year, I think it's going to be San Diego. And then the next one is the luxury conference in Beverly Hills in October.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So tell us a little about yourself. You know, how did Michael Lafito become the luxury expert? Like, let's go all the way back to the early days of how it all started and work our way back.
Yeah. So keep it real simple. I was a part-time real estate agent. I was a high school health and PE teacher and a part-time agent. I was the second leading producer for the entire Midwest for a national brand. And naturally I had a lot of people's attention, like, hey, how are you doing it? And so I started my coaching consulting business around, you know, about 11 years ago, 2007, 2008, and did not make the shift to luxury till about 2012. So how I made that shift is I was doing coaching and training. I had a product that I called Ultimate Listing Blueprint. It was a $597 CD, DVD in a box type of thing to help agents get some more leads and more listings. And I had a gentleman out of Jacksonville, Florida, and he was with ERA Franchises. And he invested in the product and loved it, and referred me some clients. And some of those clients were, you know, top luxury agents, you know, doing $100 million plus in volume. And so I worked with them. I coached them to help increase not just their average sale price, but protect their commission, work smarter, not harder. And it was shortly after, you know, coaching some folks that I realized that it wasn't just them in the luxury space, but other agents that are in the luxury space needed what I had. And so so we help both the agents that are already there and they just want to differentiate themselves even more, or we help those either beginning agents or, you know, top producing agents, but, you know, their bread and butter are the, you know, entry level or average priced homes for their market. So that shift kind of occurred when I started coaching folks, and I made the shift in my own business as well, because I'm with an independent. I practice what I preach. That's one of the things that makes me different from other trainers, speakers, and I'm the founder of a certification called Luxury Listing Specialist, or Lux for short. It's approved for CE in Texas, but we have agents of all denominations and brands, if you will, that have our certification.
That's really cool. So let's like walk through this. So I'm a real estate agent and I'm working that, let's say the median price point in the market that I live in is around 275. Let's say I'm a median price machine. I can list and sell properties faster than anybody else, killing it, but I would love to be able to sell less houses, make the same money. So systematically, and you coach this, so systematically, how do I go from that median price point and start to escalate up to, let's say that, you know, 800 to $1.3 million range? There's a lot of property around here. There's a couple mm-hmm. of good areas around here that are in that range. How do I go from that median home price and then systematically scale up? I don't imagine I just wake up one day and boom, I list $1 million properties, or I could be totally wrong, you know?
Right.
Walk me through some of your theories on these things.
Yeah, so I'm just jotting down a few things that you said. So let's just let's keep the numbers really simple, because most human beings, let alone real estate agents, are terrible with numbers. So let's just say the average sale price in your market is $250,000 as opposed to $275,000, just for this role playing. Okay.
Okay.
So real estate and pricing is all relative to your market, right? So luxury is a luxury home in, you know, Shreveport, Louisiana is going to be different than in Orange County, which is different in Detroit, which is different in Rochester, New York. So let's first talk about, I believe there's four price points in every market of homes. There's entry-level homes, there's average price homes, in this case we're going to say 250, there's high-end homes, and then the cream of the crop is luxury, okay? That covers about 95% of all homes. So I'm just keeping it really simple. There's four price points in every market. So in your scenario, let's just say 250 is the average sale price. So I define luxury homes as homes that are priced three times whatever the average sale price is for that given market. So in this scenario, 250 times three, I would say $750,000 priced homes and above are what you're calling luxury. I define high-end homes as a notch below that, and that's two times the average sale price. So 250 times two, 500,000 to about 750 would be the high-end range, okay? So you asked me, you know, how do I go from, you know, 250, 275 to 800 to 1 million? Well, that's a pretty big jump. And I've had agents make that jump. I had an agent in Keller Williams, agent out of Dallas. And before my class, she was $550,000, the highest listing she ever had. Within 60 days, she went on a $5.1 million listing. And she said, Michael, before your class, I would have never gone on a $1 million listing appointment because of fear. And what if? What if they asked me this? What if this? What if that? And it's analysis by paralysis, right? And that is, a lot of times, Grant, our worst enemy. It's ourselves, right? Look in the mirror. We're telling ourselves these lies that we can't do this. We have to be with a certain brand. We have to be licensed X amount of years. We got to drive a certain car or live in a certain community. You know, those are all false, false, false. Stop telling yourself lies. I call those misconceptions. So getting back to your question, my goal for anyone that goes through our course would be to increase your average sale price by 30% over a given year. So, you know, you might say, for this scenario, 250 is the average sale price. Well, if we can get you to 325 over the course of a year, that's not 250 to 800, although that's great, but 250 to 325 is manageable. So I look at a real estate agent's sphere and database, and more importantly, deals they have under contract or listings they have, as a financial advisor's portfolio. So if you're working with Northern Trust or whoever it might be, Northwest Mutual is your financial advisor, they're going to talk to you about diversification in your portfolio. Let's have some liquid cash, some low yield, high risk, low risk, et cetera, okay? Bonds, et cetera. Well, real estate's no different. So maybe you're selling the average price point homes and some entry level. You know, I'm not saying you should give that up. Continue to do that, but then add some high end and some luxury in your portfolio. And a lot of times the biggest objection I get is, well, what if they ask me how many have you sold? Or what if they ask me what my list to sale ratio, and now I'm selling homes at 99% of asking price. Don't those high-end ones take longer to sell? And they certainly do. But I challenge everybody listening. I believe the fastest way for any agent in any marketplace to get instant credibility from your database, your sphere, people that know you, like you, trust you, people that don't like you, people that don't like you or trust you, is to land that first luxury listing in your marketplace. And you're going to grab people's attention. There's an agent who's associated with, if I were to ask you, and we haven't role played this, who's the greatest basketball player of all time? Who comes to mind?
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan. His house has been on the market for 7 years in my market. I'm out of the Chicagoland market. And there was an agent who was associated with the sale of Michael Jordan's home. He no longer is, but he still gets doors and opportunities and PR because they remember, even though it didn't get it sold. So I recommend to agents, I believe in the top-down mentality. I think there's that subconscious thinking. So let's just say $250,000 is the average sale price in your market. And let's just say entry level, you have a lot of $150,000 sellers and $250,000 for your personal book of business. You land that $900,000 or that $1.5 million or maybe that $3 million. It's a top-down approach. Everybody else in your database and sphere is going to trust you more, because guess what? If that guy with that luxury home did his due diligence and likes you and trusts you, you know what? Then Grant certainly is good enough for my $200,000.
Great stuff.
Does that make sense?
Yes. I got a couple questions for you.
Please.
First of all, how did you come up with these multiple qualifications? So you said that we have four qualifications of home. We got entry, we got average, we got high end, and we have luxury. So let's say the average is 250, you came up with these multiples. So two times the average is high end, three times the average is luxury.
What's the science behind that?
Yeah.
So different brands, whether it be, you know, major brokerages or independents, all have different terminology when it comes to this. So, you know, leading real estate companies of the world or luxury portfolio, you can't be on their website unless it's $1 million and above. But $1 million doesn't get you anything in Beverly Hills, for example. So then a lot of the reality brands, you know, your Century 21s and your ERAs and you know, I've had all their CEOs or people that run their luxury divisions on my podcast, because I run a podcast as well, Luxury Listing Podcast. And they define luxury as the top 10% of home prices for that market. And most agents are terrible with percentages and what percent is single family versus condo. I try to keep it really simple, and I've done the research, and I feel like it lines up, I think, more effectively than the top 10%, or, you know, it's more accurate than $1 million and above, because I was doing a training recently in Crown Point, Indiana, where the average sale price is 167. And I had a gal come up to me afterwards and say, Mike, I was hesitant to come to your certification class because we don't have $1 million plus homes here. I said, well, after my class, you know, 167 times three, I said, do you have homes in that 500 plus price point? She goes, we have a lot of those. And so I believe it's all relative where those homes wouldn't make perhaps some of those other websites. So to answer your question, Grant, it was a long process how we came up with that, but three times the average is how we define luxury, and two times the average sale price is how we define high end.
Great. Thank you for the explanation. I'm sure that was the first thing that some of these people, and they probably fixated on it, like, how did he come up with that? And they didn't hear like the next 2 minutes of what you said. So I'm glad we cleared that up. My next question, do you feel like, you know, there's this whole fake it till you make it mantra that exists in the real estate space? Get that first commission check, you go lease that Benz you can't afford, and you play the game, as people call it, right? You sing the song and dance. How do you feel that perception is relevant in the luxury market, or do you feel that it's relevant?
Well, there's an old adage that perception is reality, but in luxury, it's very difficult to penetrate that like Robert De Niro in Meet the Parents, that circle of trust, right? It's tough to penetrate that. They have their guard on. So, you know, referrals are much more appreciated in the high-end space and the luxury space. So I really, you know, I just recently did a webinar this week to Who's Who in Luxury Real Estate, and we talked about the three fastest ways to double your commissions in the next 90 days. And we really talked about three core concepts or three pillars. Number one is building a solid foundation. Just like a home, you can't build a home on a weak foundation, right? It will crumble. You'll have, leveling, et cetera. So a solid foundation. And keep it really simple. I'm going to give you guys cliff notes today. And we can circle back later on how they could get a replay of that webinar. But the solid foundation is key. And the solid foundation is really your mindset and your mental toughness. Your mental toughness is like a muscle. Your muscle, if you broke a leg ever and you had a cast on, and you had this cast on, and your muscle had atrophy, right? Your muscles shrink in size. Well, your mindset, what are you reading? Who are you surrounding yourself with? Okay. You hang out with 9 dead broke people, you're bound to be the 10th. Well, why don't you hang out with 9 overachievers and you're bound to be the 10th, right? You're the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. So why wouldn't you surround yourself with mentors and people that get it? Tony Robbins says success leaves clues. Find a mentor that's successful and doing what you want to do and mirror them and use that as a model. So modeling is really important. What are you reading, right? What are you doing? There's an old adage, follow it with me. Garbage in, garbage. No, it's garbage in, garbage stays. Think about it.
Okay, I got you.
Doom and gloom, the media, this is terrible, the economy, the bubble, the burst, President Trump, all the negativity. Garbage in, garbage stays. So what are you surrounding yourself in? You know, I got visual reminders behind me, prove them wrong. And I have all these visual reminders and reading books, and I surround myself with like-minded people, because people are either going to pull you up or they're going to drag you down. And unfortunately, there's a lot of cancers in all of our lives. So your environment is important. Your mental toughness, your foundation is really important. Did you realize that Roger Bannister was the first person to ever run the mile under 4 minutes? And then within 2 years, 37 others ran that same mile under 4 minutes. And it wasn't because Gatorade came out with this great energy drink or Nike came out with shoes. The mental barrier, if Roger did it, so can I. Heck, I'm a former high school PE teacher, and I can do it. And I am doing it in the Chicagoland market. And so I want me to be an example to your audience, like this guy can do it. Heck, I can do it. So number one is a solid foundation. Do you have any questions on that before we talk about number two and three?
No, keep going.
Number two is a marketing blueprint. I'm a big believer in marketing. I tell agents, don't think like a real estate agent, think like a marketer.
That's good advice.
Okay. Have you ever visited a website and you're like, wow, this is an amazing website or this is an amazing product. Why didn't I hear about it? Well, the marketing perhaps is terrible. Or you hear about ShamWow on the late night infomercial and you know what ShamWow is, and it's some towel that will soak up a gallon of Coke that you spill. But they got goofy but memorable marketing. And that's the first rule of thumb of marketing is grab the consumer's attention. So marketing blueprint is really important. So that's number two, and I could spend 3 hours on that. And number three is kind of what you alluded to, is positioning power. Positioning power. So how do you position yourself as an agent that's different than the competition? There's 1.4 million realtors, according to NAR, the last statistic I saw. You know, everybody knows a real estate agent. So what are you doing to be memorable, to stand out above the crowd? So we teach content marketing. You know, everybody wants to work with somebody that knows what they're talking about. So I recommend content marketing. You know, that could be educational tips for buyers, sellers, and market updates. That's really our clients are buyers, you know, sellers, and market updates. Yeah, you might have an investor or a renter, but really buyers, sellers, and market updates. And so we put educational content out there for those three categories consistently. So if somebody Googles me or they go to YouTube, they can find me. And there's nothing worse than when you log on to Facebook and you see someone that says, hey, we bought a home, and guess what? They're former clients of yours and they didn't use you. So I blame you or me if a client doesn't call me, but instead they circumvent me and they go to another agent. It's my fault because I'm not consistently putting myself out there and being top of mind awareness.
I would wholeheartedly agree. I believe that affluence is attracted to affluence in a lot of ways, and something that we teach, at least we attempt to teach a lot of these agents that want to work in the luxury market, is that, you know, if I'm looking at myself personally, like I have a guy or I have a girl, like I know somebody that's going to be able to help facilitate that need. And if not, I'm going to call one of my best friends and I'm going to ask, you know, who their guy is. Right. So I would agree wholeheartedly that a lot of the higher price point properties that are moved are done so through relationships. And so how are you going out there and creating more relationships? In a lot of ways, it's kind of demonstrating their affluence, and through, you know, now you can do it easier than you ever have through content. People can absorb your content. I don't know how many people I've interacted with, like, man, I watch your stuff all the time. You're so right about this, or you're so right about this, or, you know, hey, let's argue about this, or, you know, whatever, what have you, but it creates opportunities. Do you feel like there's a right and a wrong way to get attention in the luxury market?
You know, I would say whatever suits your personality type. I will tell you the magic happens when you step outside of your comfort zone. So, for example, I do a lot of educational videos, and when I'm doing live trainings, I'll have a lot of times, you know, a mixture of crowd, and it's usually the older agents that have a tough time, that haven't done Facebook Live or haven't done videos. And so the magic happens when you step out of your comfort zone. But there are some trainers out there and another certification that says, say this instead of this. I say hogwash, be yourself, be authentic, be your, you know, just be who you are. I mean, I got a 19 on my ACT, which isn't good. And, you know, I have, you know, multi-million dollar properties, and I represent on my consulting business properties across the globe, and just be real, you know, be real. I will tell you two tips that I have. And the first one is, you know, how do you get into that sphere? How do you break into that circle of trust and those referral networks? is, you know, you have these different leads group or BNI groups or referral groups. You know, I could spend an hour on this topic on what I call my luxury networking group, but basically putting together business owners or key influential people that are in with the high net worth individuals. You know, maybe it's that private school in your neighborhood or you know, a certain demographic you're going after. You need to get in with those influencers. And the luxury networking group, a monthly meeting at a cool location with great content and great networking and referrals just naturally exchanging because you got the best businesses that cater to it. That I get so many referrals from that. So that's one freebie that I want to make sure. And then, you know, if people stick around to the end, I have three free resources for everybody, but I want to make sure that they listen through to the end to get those.
I'm just writing some more questions that I got down here.
No, please.
And I want to ask this question before I forget, but I have another comment that I would like to make. So I'm trying to decide which is more important, the question or the comment. Do you feel like if I'm a real estate agent and, you know, we hear a lot of 1 to 2 year agents that don't have a lot of capital built up to market themselves, to market properties. Right. Do you feel like as an agent, if I'm sitting here listening to this, like, man, this is great stuff, but I only got $10,000 in my bank account, do you feel like I would be doing a disservice to a higher end property if I don't have higher end money to market this property? Because I believe as well that marketing is king. And with luxury properties, especially, you need video, high quality video content, at least in my opinion. You need to spend some money in advertising. You need to spend some money doing those things. They're harder to sell. You have to do more to get those properties to move. Do you feel like there is a certain capital requirement that an agent really needs to have to be able to do the right type of service, provide the right type of service? Because if I am the seller, right, I'm the one living in the luxury house, and you try to take my property and you do nothing with it, I can't visibly see what you're doing, I'm never going to recommend you to anybody, right? And in some instances, if you upset me, I'm going to tell my friends not to do it either. No. So can an agent hurt themselves by not being properly equipped to take on and properly market that listing?
I see two questions there. The first would be, if they don't have much of a budget, can they still be effective to sell the home? Absolutely. I think that there are some things that I do, and I help agents on a $0 budget. You know, if an agent's equipped and they're educated and they know what market research and what today's buyers are looking for, there's things, Grant, that an agent can go in there and totally reposition the home. Because let's face it, if the photos are terrible, and I'm not talking professional versus non-professional, let's assume they're good quality photos for this, but if a professional photographer goes into a home that isn't staged, that isn't decluttered, that the agent did not recommend some tips and ideas on how to appeal the home to a larger mass, then an agent with the highest budget in the world, doesn't matter, they're going to leave a lot more money on the table, even with the proper marketing budget and collateral and exposure, than an agent with less of a marketing budget but knows what today's buyers are looking for. We teach that. That's something that most agents are terrible at, is not being honest with the seller and being able to articulate it to get the seller on board to, you know, I sold a home recently. It was the highest sale since 2009 in a town called River Forest, Illinois. When I went into that home, now this is an extreme example, Grant. When I went into that home, that the homeowner had over 100 animals in the house, not live animals. It looks like a taxidermist home. They had over 30 animal heads in the family room. I was the second agent. The first agent, it was listed, said, no, they're fine. Buyers can see past it. The other agent they interviewed, top Sotheby guy, did not bring it up. I said, listen, I know what today's buyers are looking for. I dug deeper on why they're saying they wanted to be closer to their daughter in Franklin, Tennessee. And I brought it back that, like, listen, if I knew that there was a few things that we could do that would strategically and increase the probability dramatically, I should say, of getting your property sold and helping you net more money, which is your retirement. They're about 80 years old, to get you to your daughter in Franklin. Would you be open to those ideas? So I get them to accept that, because if they say no, no matter what you tell me, we're not going to do anything. Would I still work with them? Perhaps. But I know my hands are going to be tied behind my back. So long response to your question, but I believe there's some agents out there that have an infinite ceiling of budget. They could spend a lot more, and I could, on a $0 budget, do a better job than those agents, because I can position the home better. I know who the avatar is, who the buyer is. I'm going to position it to that buyer. I'm going to negotiate better. I'm going to be aggressive. So I that's one of the things I'm very passionate about, is taking an agent who downplays their past or might think it's embarrassing. They don't want to talk about it. I had one gal that was an agent, and she had zero track record of selling homes. We dug deeper, and she was a collegiate athlete. And so I took that and made that part of her unique selling proposition. So we'll role play. Grant, you asked me how many homes I've sold, you know, in a certain price point. Let's just say you have a $2 million home for this conversation, and ask me how many homes I've sold. And I'm that agent. Go ahead.
How many homes have you sold in the price point you're looking to work in?
Well, again, you're the seller asking me. So, Grant, you know, you have an amazing home. It's $2 million. And quite honestly, I have never sold a home in your particular area, let alone at this price point. But, you know, your home's been listed with two local agents before. And so Albert Einstein once said, do the same thing over and over again, you get the same results. So if you're looking for a neighborhood expert, somebody that just sells in your community, I can tell you I'm not your guy. But if you want someone that's aggressive, that thinks outside the box, that's hungry, in this case, I don't have a lot of properties like yours. So you're going to get me. You're not going to get my third assistant or my 18th assistant, and you're not just going to be one of another 25 listings or 50 listings. You're going to be my highest priority, and you're going to get my attention, and I'm going to do everything possible to get your home sold. I'm going to use my background from athletics to running marathons to blank, fill in the blank. And Grant, I'm telling you, you're going to get my resources, my team, and we're going to help position your home better. Now, if they invest in coaching, or they have a certification, or they're in a sphere of top luxury people, you can say, hey, listen, I've invested in a luxury certification, or I've read this book, or I'm a part of this office, and then they can leverage in it. So they're on the coattails of that borrowed credibility. If they don't have that, that's okay. They can answer it the way I have. Now, if they're an agent, let's role play. And let's say they are that agent that's got 25 luxury listings. And they say, well, why should I hire you, Grant? Because I'm just going to be one of 25 versus one of 30. When another guy I'm talking to, you know, he said he's going to dedicate his time just to my listing. So, right, that's the flip side of the coin to the agent that doesn't have, you know, much luxury experience to, hey, why should I hire you? Aren't you going to be busy, Mike? I see you got a $20 million listing. How are you going to give me the same attention? And I'm only at two. Well, Grant, that's a great question. So let me put it to you this way. The higher that we go up in price point, the more educated the buyer is. The more educated the buyer is, many times they try to circumvent a buyer's agent, and they only want to work with listing agents, agents that get it. And so we get 25 times more of the inquiries than the agent that doesn't have any multi-million dollar properties, because we're getting sign leads, internet leads, you know, Zillow leads, Redfin leads, blank, fill in the blank, fill in the blank. So Mr. Seller, we're going to get by far more opportunities, more inquiries to get your property sold, because in our price point, in your price point, it's what we consider a buyer's market, Mr. Seller. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So that's important. The other thing, well, my ADD is kicking in, but I want to make sure I cover this, Grant, for your listeners, because many times I'll have somebody say, well, Mike, we're in a seller's market. Do you get that? Are you in a buyer's market or seller's market?
I think the United States of America is currently in a seller's market, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that statement, but I think it's all relative, just like luxury is relative. Mm-hmm. At every market, at some price point, the shift occurs from a seller's market to a buyer's market. It might be 1.3 million in your market where the shift occurs from, you know, low inventory, multiple offers to lot of inventory, or maybe not a lot, but the inventory that's out there is stagnant. It's not moving. Every market has a buyer's market. And Mr. Seller, we are at your price point, you're in a buyer's market. So if you're going to hire that traditional Tim or Debbie Dinosaur that does the same things as everybody else, I'm not your guy. But if you want someone that's aggressive, thinks outside the box, I'll run through a wall for you. You're going to get me. You're not going to get my assistant.
That's good stuff.
So I believe question. That, by the way.
I have a question that I picked up while you were kind of going through some of that. How do you feel, you know, you're talking about new agents, helping them go from where they're at now, kind of growing their price point over time. Mm-hmm. How do you navigate, or what advice would you give for somebody navigating being willing to stand firm in what you know, right? So you were talking about giving advice on selling a home or listing a property to a seller and things that you were willing to say about, you know, a room full of wild game that maybe other agents might not have been willing to say. So if I'm a brand new agent, I'm looking at this like, man, this is a $5 million listing. And I don't remember what it was, but let's say it's $5 million. This is a $5 million listing. This is going to be the biggest listing I've ever had in my entire life. But I know that this gamer is going to be a huge issue, but I don't want to bring it up because I don't want them to fire me because I insulted them or I did those things. So how do you stand firm in what you know is the right thing to do? And it's kind of a loaded question from my standpoint, but what advice would you give somebody when it comes to, you know, really standing firm in what your belief is and in your professionalism when you're looking at maybe taking on one of the biggest listings of your life?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I have case study after case study after case study. I'm a big visual guy. So in other words, I try to model what agents should be doing. So you shouldn't have a one-step listing appointment. In other words, a one-size-fits-all listing presentation. You ought to have different types of listing presentations based on personality profiles, but you also need to have case studies. And so if you bring up a case study like, hey, Grant, you know, your home reminds me of a similar client we've sold. And so now you have visuals to talk about what you've done. That will help make your job easier. But to keep it really simple to answer your question, you know, if you invest in a mentor or a coach or somebody in your office that can help you role play and overcome objections, that's going to be really important. So that's the first part. But if you're an agent, I tell people there's four P's to the real estate industry when you're dealing with a seller. Should I take this client on? So, Grant, you're interviewing me to market your home, but I'm also interviewing you, Grant, to see if you're a right fit for our team as well. So make sure they know that you're not desperate. However, confidentially, I will tell your listeners, if you don't have a luxury listing, you personally, as you know, someone watching right now, do everything ethically to get your first luxury listing, even if it's overpriced. Okay. Even if the seller's a jerk, even if they won't listen to your advice, even if the location is terrible, do whatever you can to get that first luxury listing ethically, because you're going to start to stub your toe a little bit, but you're also gain confidence. When you grow your knowledge, your confidence will grow. So we want agents to grow their knowledge. And so you get a couple, even at, like, let's just say you have 10, let's just say for this conversation, you have five listings and four of them are 150 to 200. You take that 1-3 listing that should be at 900. Guess what? Someone goes on the Zillow and your website and they're interviewing three agents. Wow, man, Grant's got a 1.3. Okay. So you get some credibility a little bit that way. Now, eventually I talk about person, property, positioning, and price. So eventually you'll be more selective when you build your inventory up like I have. If I say three out of these four have to be met. So if the person's a jerk, but it's a great property and they're willing to listen to my advice and they're pricing it right, three out of four are met, I'll take them on. Okay. But for your listeners, do everything ethically to take that listing. Okay. So if they got 70 animal heads there and you're not confident on how to articulate that, tell them, you know what, blame it on market research. Okay. First off. So just like, are you married?
Yes.
So if somebody tries to sell you something door to door, you know, my wife's not here, I got to check on it, or I got to check with my broker. This case, it might be, you know what, I love your animal heads. I'm not even a hunter, but man, that moose head, wow, that's pretty cool. But market research suggests some buyers might be turned off from that. So I'm not suggesting you take them down, but you know, you might consider it. So you just speak in generalities, okay? But take the listing even if they won't take them down. But when you build your inventory to a place where you're confident, you attract clients, you are that industry expert, you are that luxury listing specialist, and that's what we talk about in our book, Luxury Listing Specials. Dominate luxury listings in your market. If you want to dominate luxury listings and you eventually get your business to where you are, then you have to be honest with them, dead set honest, and sometimes say, listen, I don't need to practice, Mr. Seller. I know how to get your home sold. If you're going to fight me on things, I'm probably not the right guy for you.
Great advice. Solid advice. Man, that's all this podcast today has been. It's just one piece of solid advice after another. Michael, I appreciate you jumping
on here. Trying to get meat and potatoes, man. Trying to give as much meat and potatoes for you.
No, we like it. So let's say somebody's listening to this, like, I got to call this Michael guy. How do I get in touch with you? What is the single greatest way for me to get in contact with you if I want to learn how to take my business to the next level?
Yeah. So to find out more about me, they can go to luxurylistingspecials.com for our certification, but an email. If they have questions on anything I've covered, I might not get back to you right away. Doing a lot of traveling these days, speaking, et cetera, but Michael@marketingluxurygroup.com, Michael@marketingluxurygroup.com. And I told you, I have something free for everybody. Is that okay if I give away three golden nuggets? So if they, and I'm going to try to hold this up, if they text Lux, L-U-X-E, to 72000, so take your smartphone out and, like, you're dialing a phone number, dial in 72000 and text the word Lux, L-U-X-E, they're going to get three bonus items, including a blueprint, including a 56-point video checklist, as well as a three-part video series. That's something I want to give to your audience members.
That's awesome, man. We appreciate that so much. If you're listening to this right now, you need to stop and you need to go text Lux, L-U-X-E, to 72000. And we'll have that information listed below the podcast. Michael, awesome. Again, man, thank you so much for stopping by. Epic, epic, epic information and great, great actionable advice. If you were listening to this today, you need to pick up something. You were not listening to this today. So make sure that you take action.
I appreciate it. And we share a lot of these things on our podcast. That's why, you know, I'd love what you're doing, bringing value to the industry, raising the standard. So thank you. They can go to iTunes and Stitcher and look up Luxury Listing Specialist on iTunes or Stitcher, or go to luxurylistingpodcast.com. And the last thing I want to leave your audience with is prove them wrong. Maybe somebody, maybe a teacher, a coach, maybe a significant other, maybe someone that you sleep next to every night, and they tell you you can't do something. Unfortunately, many agents don't have that solid foundation and they crumble under those doubters. I love when someone says that can't be done, or that won't work in this market, or, you know what, KW doesn't list the luxury homes in my market and you're with KW. Whatever it is, continue to prove others wrong.
That's great advice. And I'm going to end on that. What an incredible, incredible interview with Mr. Michael Lofito. Make sure you look him up. Thank you again for tuning into the Marketing Genius Podcast. Make sure that you rate us on iTunes and Google Play. We'll see you on the next episode.